Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Napleton Auto Group Manager Show with Mike Schilt. Napleton Auto Group, second to none since 1931. NapletonSTL.com.
And we welcome in the Cardinals manager, Mike Schilt. And what a week this has been for the Cardinals. They've been winning series left and right, and they have a chance to do so today against the Cincinnati Reds. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Tom. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How are things with your club?
We're doing well. We're doing well. Just take it day by day and competing every day and enjoying the process.
Yes, you are. And you have the Reds today at 12:10. We'll have it right here on KMOX. Let's first talk about what's happened throughout the week. And let's start going back with the Diamondback series. That was a series that you were able to capture. We talked about it on KMOX last Sunday, and you were able to close things out with them.
We were, yeah. We got a nice series start to the post All-Star break, and was able to get that last game to bring the series home, and just good baseball.
That was good baseball indeed. You won that game, that last game against the Diamondbacks 5-2, and then the Monday game against the Pirates was really a statement game for your team. You really dominated it. Miles Michaelis had a tremendous game going the distance, and you received a lot of run support. I'm certain you were proud of that opening game of that series.
Yeah, I mean, that's the elixir we've been looking for. You know, we get the strong pitch in Miles, obviously dominating, complete game, shutout, and then able to score runs and, win it in just solid fashion.
The next game, you lost 3-1 to the Pirates, but you came back with a 6-5 victory over the Pirates. Tyler O'Neill and Paul Goldschmidt go deep. I was sitting in the seats for that one. That was a roaster, man. That was a hot game, and your team was able to persevere and fight through it, and Goldschmidt launched the big home run, the 3-run shot that pushed you ahead.
Yeah, big victory run homer. We're down 4-2. O'Neill hit the solo homer to make it 4-3, and then kind of got us back in it a little bit more, got the momentum going, and got Edmund got a good at bat, Hosey got a good at bat, and then we had a great swing by Goldie to give us that lead 6-4, and we were able to bring it home.
It was a terrific win. The Cardinals beat the Pirates in that game. Here's how the Goldschmidt home run sounded right here on KMOX.
The 2-2 pitch. A swing, and there's a high fly ball. Deep left center field. To the track. The wall. It's a goner in the Pirate bullpen. A 3-run homer for Paul Goldschmidt. And the Cardinals are on top now. 6-4 Cardinals in the seventh inning.
Paul Goldschmidt with his 18th of the year, and the Cardinals also received a home run from Tyler O'Neill. He really whacked that one, and the Cards win the game over the Pirates, and they take the series. Then you went to Cincinnati, and let's take you to the top of the sixth inning. You're down 3-2 in this game, Mike, and the player that's been doing a lot of great things for you, Tommy Edman, came to the plate. This is how this one sounded on KMOX on a Thursday night.
Let's see if Tommy Edman can come through with a clutch hit here facing Robert Stevenson. Tommy was 0-3 against Roark from the belt with the bases loaded. Edman swings. He hits a high fly ball. Deep center field to the track, the wall. Grand slam for Tommy Edman. The Cardinals lead 7-3 in Cincinnati.
John Rooney called for a clutch hit. I think that would qualify. What a bomb that was.
Yeah, that definitely qualifies. DeJong got us going with a big two-run homer and tied it on the single, make it three, and then Edman with the big grand slam. That was clutch, is for sure.
Edman with the big hit, and the Cardinals won that game. Final was 7-4. And then moving ahead to Friday, it's a game that people will be talking about for a long, long time. You're down 7-0. And first, let's discuss that. So Adam Wainwright is pitching for your team on a Friday night in Cincinnati. It's a hot one. It was a stifling kind of atmosphere, not much breeze, if any at all. And he goes out there and had some difficulty recording some outs. Mike, how would you analyze his outing?
His first two innings was more of the way that we've been seeing, commanding the ball down, life to the ball, Softer contact, a few punch outs. So the third, got the ball up a little bit, and they put some swings on and score some runs, and they got four on him, and get him back out there, need some innings. We had shorter start the day before, and Wayno can usually ride his ship, and went back out, and stuff wasn't sharp again in the fourth, and Varnaway hits a three-run homer the other way, and we're down 7-0.
You are, and you go into the sixth inning. Now you have Michael Wacha pitching, and Wacha is able to get through the fifth, and you're in the top of the sixth now, and Harrison Bader leads off with a base hit. That's a good sign, as Bader's trying to get that offense going. Then Tommy Edman with another hit. The Reds come to the mound. They have a discussion, and the batter is Jose Martinez. Here's how it sounded.
Now rocks the bat back and forth, holding it high over the right shoulder. The two on, the pitch, a swing and a ground ball. Diving play by Jeanette. He gets to his feet and throws. Martinez is safe. An infield hit for Martinez.
Bases loaded, Paul Goldschmidt.
The pitch, Goldschmidt swings, and it's a high fly ball to left field. It's in the park. And under it, Philip Irvin on the track. He makes the catch. The runner's tag. The throw goes into second base. Edman goes to third as Bader scores. 7-1 Cincinnati.
So you're off the schneid, as they say. No runs before that, but you get a run, and now the batter is Tyler O'Neill.
On 3-2, the pitch. A swing and a base hit to left field. It's 7-2 Cincinnati. Tommy Edman scores, and Martinez holds up at second. That's a 7-game hitting streak for Tyler O'Neill. And RBI number 16.
So it's 7-2. The Reds had enough of that. They brought in Matt Bowman, Mike, your former pitcher, and the Cardinals respond. You decide that it's time to replace Michael Wacha with a pinch hitter, Jairo Munoz, correct?
That's correct.
And he did this.
One out, two on, two runs in. Jairo Munoz hits a ground ball to the shortstop. A flip to second, safe. Everybody's safe. A flip with the backhand. No time to get the ball out of the glove, and Iglesias put the ball in the air towards second base, and Scooter Jeanette got there, but so did Tyler O'Neill just before the ball did.
He sure did. Now, the Reds challenged the play, but the call was upheld, and the Cardinals are in business. Colton Wong with a sacrifice fly. That scores Martinez. Mike, what are you feeling in the dugout at this point? The score is 7-3.
Yeah, no, I mean, we feel good. I mean, guys taking good at bats, John alluded, we got the bullpen, fairly early in the game, and the guys are taking good swings, not trying to do too much, just do their part, and, what I loved at this point is, we made the two outs, but they're productive outs, sack flies, get runs in, so guys were, taking the right approach, good approaches.
Next batter is Paul DeJong.
Here's Paul DeJong. Paulie Deese, he hits it fair inside the third base bag down the left field line. Two runs are going to score on a double by DeJong. And the Cardinals are back in this game. It's 7-5 Cincinnati.
That's the point where you could feel it. The Reds are in trouble. It's a 7-5 game. They pull Bowman out of the game. They bring in Jared Hughes. And here's Andrew Kisner.
Here's a swing and a drive. That's hit deep. Right center field by Kisner. Back to the wall. And this one is off the wall. A run scores. Kisner slides in safely at second with an RBI double. And the Cardinals are down by a run. The second major league hit for the Cardinal catcher. And both hits are doubles.
Kisner hits the ball hard, doesn't he? What a terrific week it was for him.
Yeah, he does. First big league hit. Again, second double big hit in that game. And then set the table for us to continue to move in the line.
Harrison Bader draws a walk after that. And again, is he seeing the ball better? That's two terrific at-bats for him in that inning.
Yeah, I think there's no question about it. He double-switched in last night, worked a walk. He's seeing the ball better. Anytime guys are laying off pitches and staying in the zone is a good indicator.
So Bader walks, and the Reds go to face Tommy Edman.
The pitch. Edman swings and bounces it. Tavano goes off his knee and toward the shortstop, rounding third, trying to score the throw. Safe as Kisner scores the tying run. Votto couldn't make the play on the ball hit by Edman. The Cardinals have runners at first and third. And a tie score.
A rare error on Joey Votto, one of the best in the business, Mike. And it's a tie ball game. Now, how's your dugout?
Yeah, the momentum just continued to build and build. And, one of the things of many I appreciated about that inning was was not only the quality of bats, but the quality of base running and the effort that, you know, could have been, could be overlooked in that inning. I know we've still got a ways to go, thankfully, but to recap it, but, you know, you're talking about a lot of little things. Hosey, you know, beats out that infield single. O'Neill got a really good primary lead based on where Votto was on the ground ball that Munoz hit. Got a good secondary lead on time, aggressive, and then got his foot down on second base real quick. All those things, every inch of that mattered on that replay, because that's not there. Then, you know, Colton's ball after that's brought, you know, that ends the inning. And then, you know, Kisner hustling to second, DeYoung hustling all the way to second on a close play. This, you know, Kis would have been out on a banger, then, you know, that you know, would have, the run wouldn't have counted if Paulie's not hustling like he should be. You know, just a lot of real, you know, Kisner here in a minute. Well, you just talked about the ball off Votto, you know, busting it, good secondary. You know, it's an, you know, not a routine because it wasn't hit with some pace, but, you know, he could have been like, you know, big deal, ball the right side, ground ball. He was getting it, trying to score pop, you know, good send on a kickaway. He was able to score on a play at the plate. Just good base running, good effort all the way around that inning.
Yeah, there's a great picture in the Post-Dispatch of Kisner sliding in head first safely at home plate, and the Cardinals have tied the game. They've come all the way back, but they're not finished. And you describe this team and that effort as a championship effort. The next batter after Tommy Edmonds steals second base is Jose again.
Two outs, 3-2 on Jose Martinez with Goldschmidt on deck. Jared Hughes with his 16th pitch out of the bullpen. A swing, and there's a drive. Hit to deep left center field. To the track. To the wall. It's a goner. A three-run homer for Jose Martinez. 10-7, Cardinals.
Wow, incredible. 10-7. The Cardinals put 10 on the board. I think I read that Adam Wainwright came running from the trainer's room into the dugout. He wanted to be part of that celebration.
Yeah, he did. He was really excited. My understanding, he told the guys, you know, went and double switch, and so a little bit of downtime on the mound. He told the guys, hey, come on back in this game. You know, this game's not over. And you know, it took him to heart, and he came out to celebrate a little bit with the guys.
Cardinals up 10-7, seventh inning. Paul's up there with a runner on.
He sets up outside. Wong not going, and that ball is hit hard and deep down the left field line. Stay fair, baby. It does. Big fly, Paul DeJong. Two-run shot, his 15th. And the Cardinals now lead 12-7.
He hammered it, a dozen for the Cardinals. They're up 12-7, Mike. And then the Reds do chip away. LaVarnway hits another home run. Two-run shot makes it 12-9. Winker with a two-run single makes it 12-11 in the ninth. But in the end, you stick with your man, and the batter is Joey Votto.
Joey, Joey, they chant here in Cincinnati. The Reds are down to their last strike. The pitch from Carlos Martinez, a swing and a ground ball to Goldschmidt. He steps on first for a Redbird winner as the Cardinals outlast the Reds tonight, 12-11 in Cincinnati. And on that ground ball, this ball game has come to an end.
Ooh, I mean, what a win. An historic win, really. Your first outburst like that since 2012 against the Cubs. And first time you've done that on the road since over a decade ago against the A's. A 10-run inning, and the Cardinals win at 12-11. What was that clubhouse like after the game, Mike?
I mean, guys, we're excited. I mean, that's for sure. We, you know, it was one of those games where I know everybody was feeling the emotion to that one. And, you know, especially when you come back and take the lead and extend it like Paulie did. And, you know, just a gutty performance. And you know, down to the literally the last strike with time run, potential winning run on base. And, you know, Carlos made a pitch, Goldie made a play, and we're able to shake hands and feel good about it.
Cardinals win at 12-11 on a Friday night, a 10-run sixth inning. A 3-run seventh for the Reds last night gave them a 3-2 win over the Cardinals. We'll touch on that and look ahead to today's game with Cardinals manager Mike Schilt. Always love having him with us on a Sunday morning. It is sports on a Sunday morning. And the Mike Schilt Show is sponsored by Napleton Automotive Group. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to the Napleton Auto Group Manager Show with Mike Schilt. Napleton Auto Group, second to none since 1931. NapletonSTL.com.
Mike Schilt is with us. The Cardinals are just about a couple of hours away, a little less than 2 hours away from a ball game at 12:10 at Cincinnati. We appreciate Mike being with us. Cincinnati, Ohio, how's the weather there today? Things hot like it is here?
Yeah, more of the same. Pretty warm. You know, it's a summer game, so we're excited to get out there and play.
You'll be playing the Reds, and you'll be facing A Reds team that can hit, we know that. They can pitch a little bit too, as DeSclafani will be your opponent and Jack Flaherty will be your pitcher. Yesterday, a 3-2 loss to the Reds, Mike, and how would you summarize yesterday's game as Miles Michaelis went back to the mound?
Clean, crisp, well-pitched, well-played game that we came up on the short end, and both starters had their good stuff. That was pretty evident early on. You know, Miles was sharp, good life to his ball, some playing to it, in, out, hitting with a breaking ball, you know, throwing to where he wanted to in command. Their guy, Castillo, tough. You know, I thought we took a lot of really good at-bats against him. He had his eight stuff as well. And, you know, we pestered him to get him out of there after the sixth. And, you know, Weedy does a nice job hitting the solo homer and, you know, and gives Castillo some credit. He dives some traffic. We had a, you know, leadoff double from Edmund, and we got him over, couldn't get him in. And then Miles ambushed Castillo after the Weedy homer for a double with nobody out. And then we couldn't get him over, and then we didn't get him in. So, you know, some situational hitting kind of bit us, you know, and, you know, well-pitched game, close game, those little things matter. And it's a tough raft to execute on, but at the end of the day, we got to execute and be able to get those couple runs in that would have made a difference. And so we got a 1-0 lead. Miles, you know, cruising and gets into the seventh, and you know, he's got a really, you know, nice game going. He's got plenty of pitches in the tank still, and really tough, close leadoff walk to Suarez, and then he got a pitch he didn't want to Puig, and then, you know, we've been throwing Van Meter in a lot, and he just got a ball he cheated to a little bit and got the head out and didn't hit it great, but hit it good enough in this ballpark to hook it down the line. And, you know, that was the difference. You know, we had the second, third one out. Martinez gets the ground ball, gets the guy in, make it 3-2. But we couldn't scratch any more than that. Helsley comes in, two clean innings to you know, relieve Miles in the seventh and get his own eighth and get out of his own traffic in the eighth to keep it 3-2. We just, you know, their bullpen was made pitches and we weren't able to bring it home.
Yeah, you know, I was going to mention that. A six-out save for Lorenzen, and that while that gets a lot of attention, I think it is worth noting Helsley's outing. As you mentioned, two innings of scoreless ball for him. That's important and really impressive coming right back up, isn't it?
It's both. You know, we were super thin yesterday. That's the reason that Hels was up. You know, we sent Sosa down, played with a short bench, knowing that we had, you know, upwards of four relievers that we weren't comfortable pitching last night. So Miles going deep was important. And then Helsley coming in, getting out of the, you know, leadoff single or the, you know, single that, you know, chased Miles and get out of that. And then, you know, overcome his own traffic was big for him and us.
That it was, and the Cardinals ended up losing this game 3-2, but they do get a nice outing out of Helsley. What is the latest with a couple of your players? I understand that Matt Carpenter's been swinging the bat a little bit. How is he progressing?
He's back to full baseball activity. He's still got a little bit of soreness in that foot, but he's more or less back to being able to move around and get some ground balls and get swings and get a little bit of light base running going. He'll look like he'll be out sooner rather than later on a rehab assignment to get some at-bats and see where that takes him.
You know, really, you think about this, you've been able to win two series in a row and possibly a third today without Matt Carpenter, without Yadier Molina, without Marcelo Ozuna. They're not the only ones, but those are three pretty big ones there, Mike.
Yeah, those are you know, cornerstones of our club, but, you know, it speaks to the depth of the team and the willingness of this team to compete and prepare and go compete. So, you know, we think about them. We're communicating with them and, you know, looking forward to them having them back. But the reality is we gotta go. We gotta take care of business without them right now.
Is Ozuna still on target to possibly be back by the end of this month?
It's going to be interesting. You know, he's still got some inflammation in that hand that we need to get out of there. His grip, his baseline of his grip strength is improving, but it's still, you know, ways away from his base, you know, where we feel comfortable him getting a bat in his hand and being able to go. So, you know, we're hopeful he'll take batting practice towards the end of this coming week. And once that happens, you know, that could, it could happen, you know, fairly quick.
Sure, and nobody's Yadier Molina, but it's been nice to have Wieters and Kisner. They are terrific, really, as the backup catchers for Yadi. Yadi just needs to have as much rest as possible, isn't that right? Just you don't want to miss him later.
Yeah, no, that's right. We just need to get it behind him. I mean, the thing that we look at with Yadi is, you know, we always want him back in that lineup, and he's always looking to get back in the lineup as well. So, you know, we're always pushing, is my point, to get him back. And you know, it's just a situation that's going to require a little time. You know, it's just got to heal. And you know, it's not a huge rehab place where he's doing a lot of work. It's just a matter of just getting that area down and getting it to heal. And you know, clearly he's doing everything he can to stay ready. And he's chomping at the bit like the other guys. But we got to give it the time. And to your point, you know, Weedy and Kiz done a very nice job, not only, you know, offensively, where sometimes that shows up, but he's done a really nice job, you know, behind the plate and working with our pitchers.
The Cardinals will be playing today against the Reds at 12:10, and it's Jack Flaherty on the mound. Flaherty's really turned the corner. What have you seen from him?
He's been great. He's been executing. You know, he's had the life on his ball. He's had the command of his pitches. He's been on the plate. He's been down. He's been on the plate. He's been under with his secondary. Curveball has been good. His slider has been sharp again. That's just the key to Jack. He's got to be on the play. He's got to be on the zone, under the zone, so people have to respect pitches out of his hand and then throw in for effect. But he's had really good body control. He's had really good, you know, focus, composure, rhythm. You know, so Jack's been in a really good place.
We talked about Carlos Martinez finishing the job on that tremendous night, that Friday night. What about the back end of your bullpen right now in regard to John Brebbia and Giovanni Gallegos? It looks like you have two pretty good weapons there.
Yeah, they both throwing the ball very, very well. You know, Brebs has been really good the last several outings, and Gallegos continues to be effective. And you know, Miller's been good, been carrying the mail a little bit too. And, you know, Johnny Gant, a big inning plus the other night. And then you have Carlos, like you said, been at the end, been good.
Yes, he has. He needed a lot of pitches, almost 30 pitches, I guess, to get through that seventh save of the season, but he got it done. And he went up against one of the best, Joey Votto. And again, that smile, even when things were not going well for him, he was ready for the challenge, and he got it done on Friday. We'll see what happens today as the Cardinals take on the Reds. Mike, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to ask you to touch on a couple of things as we close it out. The Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, those ceremonies are today. I want to get some of your recollections when we return. This is the Mike Schilt Show. It's sponsored by Napleton Automotive Group. I'm Tom Ackerman on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Napleton Auto Group Manager Show with Mike Schilt. Napleton Auto Group, second to none since 1931. NapletonSTL.com.
Welcome back to the Mike Schilt Show. Tom Ackerman with you on KMOX. It's great to have the Cardinals manager with us. And as the big boy voice said right there, sponsored by Napleton Automotive Group, we always love their cooperation and their contributions. They have been great to us, that's for sure. Baseball Hall of Fame, and Lee Smith is going into the Baseball Hall of Fame today in Cooperstown. Mike, last year I went up to Cooperstown and spent the weekend following Bob Costas, a great friend of ours, a KMOX alum, and watched him receive the Ford C. Frick Award. And what a great weekend it was. There's just something very special and peaceful about Cooperstown, New York, isn't there?
Yeah, I've been able to spend a lot of time there. You know, I've been in the season for so many years now, but did catch a glimpse of it a couple of years ago, many years ago, when I was in the Penn League playing over in Oneonta. I went over there. But, you know, it's a special, special, special place, Hollywood grounds. And you know, you're talking about the elite of our sport that we love.
Yes, indeed. So Lee Smith goes in. Lee Smith, the former Cardinal, and as good a closer as any in his generation.
Special, yeah. I mean, I don't have a vote, don't need one, but, you know, everybody has their own little votes they make for the Hall of Fame, at least I do. And you think about, is this guy Hall of Famer, is this guy, you know? And for years I've been sitting there scratching my head about Lee Smith, like, why this guy, you know, what's the hold up with this guy? I mean, you know, and he did it in a, not that any getting any saves in any big league game, which is not, it's a, you know, it's a special thing to be able to accomplish, but he did it in an era where, you know, you were carrying the mail a lot. And, so he did it for a lot of time, a lot of years, the high, high success rate, racked up a lot of saves that were more than the three innings. So, you know, heck of a career and more than deserving of the Hall of Fame.
What a group this is. The results were announced at the beginning of this year. And speaking of closers, Mariano Rivera, as dominant a player, let alone closer, as this game has seen, wouldn't you say?
What a weapon. I mean, you know, there's no coincidence that that Yankee run of four World Series had him as an anchor. You know, that's a, that, you talk about a luxury of running out a guy that you virtually feel like it's an eight-inning game if you can get a lead. And he'd shut it down, and he was so efficient with the pitch that everybody in the ballpark, including the hitter, pretty much knew what was coming. And he talked about a dominant pitch and still was able to, you know, just be super efficient, get three up, three down most every time, which not only allowed that game to be over, but set him up, you know, to, for a lot of, you know, more workload as far as more times out there because his – he was so efficient with his pitches.
Wanted to ask you about a couple of others. Harold Baines also goes into the Hall of Fame, Mike.
Yeah, you know what? What a career, you know. Seemed like, a, I mean, he played in a, you know, I mean, Chicago. He's with Tony, and I know they had some good teams there early on, and then they had, you know, some teams that weren't as strong. So he kind of got lost, I think, in the mix and maybe an underappreciated player for a long time. But just another guy that I don't know if he'd taken for granted, but in the scheme of things, could have got taken for granted a little bit. And good to see him get rewarded because, you know, just a steady guy. Some of those steady guys just going to show up, take good at bats, show up every day, put the numbers up every year, and just put them on the board. And, you know, he's able to accrue that, those numbers up over a longer period of time and show that consistent success. And, you know, there's greatness in that.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I sat in Tony La Russa's office and he told me stories about the greatness of Harold Baines, one of his all-time favorite players. Edgar Martinez could hit too, couldn't he? My gosh, what a terrific hitter he was, the DH from the Mariners.
Just straight break. I mean, that guy could hit, man. You know, you just look up and just watch, and he just, every time you watch that guy hit, you thought he was going to get one. You know, he just, he was on everything, smart, on balance, you know, nice short stroke, just looked like he almost knew what was coming every time, and just put a good swing on pretty much every time he took a pass at the ball.
This is a really good class. Mike Mussina also gets in, Mike, another one of those great big game starters.
Yeah, very similar to some of the other guys, just a put his head down guy and dependable, and, you know, you ran him out there as a starter every fifth day, and he took the ball, and you know, he won a lot of games and competed really well and did it for a long time. And, you know, just a tremendous body of work that you look up and it's Hall of Fame worthy.
And finally, Mike, Roy Halladay, who tragically died in a plane crash. Here we are at Cooperstown, and he is going to go into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And our great Cardinal Chris Carpenter is going to be there to support him.
Yeah, Carp's up there, and you know, I know it'll be an emotional weekend for him, and I'm sure, of course, the family, and well-deserved. You know, you talk about a dominant guy for, you know, a period of time in our game, and such a sad ending to a young life.
Mike Shildt, we love having you on these Sunday mornings, especially this close to game time. We appreciate your time. Best to your club. Go get a win and a series win, and we will see you soon.
Will do. Thanks, Tom. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. There's Cardinals manager Mike Shildt with us, sponsored by Napleton Automotive Group. Cardinals baseball president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak, joins us next. It's sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Munkin-Ass St. Louis Honda Sports on a Sunday morning. Munkin-Ass pre-owned on South Limburg on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Our thanks to Cardinals manager Mike Shildt. Now let's turn things over to Alex Ferrario.
Thank you, Tom. Well, welcome back. Sports on a Sunday morning. Alex Ferrario with you as we approach the series finale between the Cardinals and Reds this afternoon. But before that, we welcome in Cardinals president of baseball operations. We say good morning to John Mozeliak. John, it's great to have you on with us this morning. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Good morning, and thank you.
Well, let's just start with the great past week it was for this Cardinals team. I mean, going from the Diamondback series to the Pirates series to the Cincinnati Reds series, it was one heck of a week, John.
Well, I think when we entered the post All-Star game second half, we really had to focus on some things and try to get things right. And I will say, from an offensive standpoint, we've seen some things that have been very positive. Certainly, I think a lot of us didn't see it necessarily coming, in the sense of when you have Molina on the IL, you have Ozuna on the IL, and then all of a sudden you're getting a lot of positive impact from people filling in for them. And, I think one of the guys that stands out is Tyler O'Neill. And, clearly he's really given us some positive at-bats and, getting to see that power. And I think overall, when your offense was struggling so much in the first half, having people step up and start to see the ability to score runs a lot like we did in April shows you really the depth of our lineup.
Well, and I want to stick with Tyler O'Neill, John, because this to me was such a big moment and a big chance for Tyler O'Neill, just because it's consistent playing time. In the past, he's been up, but he just hasn't had that consistent at-bat opportunity, and now he has it until Marcelo Ozuna returns, and he has taken it and he has run with it.
Well, that's right. And in terms of what we look like once Marcel comes back, I think we'll address that when he does. But for now, you're going to see Tyler get a lot of opportunities, and hopefully he just continues on his positive streak, and those contributions end up giving us a lot more W's.
Does it seem to you, John, that Tyler seems more confident and comfortable in the batter's box?
Well, I think that's one of the tough things when you're a young player. When, just imagine when you're playing junior high school, or college baseball, the type of players that play in the major leagues are typically middle of the lineup hitters, and they're playing every day on their teams. And when you get to professional baseball, and someone like Tyler O'Neill, who's probably hit third or fourth in every lineup he's ever been a part of, joins the St. Louis Cardinals, and he doesn't know if he's going to even play that day. I think getting in that routine and that comfort zone of what you expect is something that you're really seeing a big boost from someone like Tyler. And I think the opposite can be said right now for somebody like Bader, who is trying to get himself on track, but doesn't know on any given day if he's playing or not. And at the major league level, you usually know the night before if you're in tomorrow for planning purposes. But what I mean by this is that's the hard part when you're having young players that are trying to work through things. And in Tyler's case, he's getting those everyday at-bats right now, and we're seeing really positive returns.
Despite the struggles for Harrison Bader, John, does it feel like it's something that to stick with Harrison Bader, just because the more opportunities he's going to have in the batter's box, the more chances he is going to have to break out of a slump?
Well, I think part of the problem you have when you're managing this club, and Mike Schultz dealing with it every day, is he's looking for that right combination to be able to score runs. As you know, the month of May and June, it was quite frustrating when we just weren't putting up runs, and having a crooked number in an inning is very helpful sometimes. And so I think when you look at the overall production of what the lineup is doing is why you're not seeing Bader in there on a consistent basis. But the point is, at some point, Bader is going to have to get those at bats, because we still think he's going to be our center fielder of the future.
Could that potentially be in the near future in the minors?
It's possible. Certainly right now, I don't think we have a viable option. And the other thing I think he gives you right now is that late inning defense. And so, I think there's still some reasons that he can get some playing time. It's just not as consistent as being in the everyday lineup.
When we talk, John, throughout the season, we always talk about, patience when it comes to offense. And at one point, when you're in the middle of June and the offense doesn't seem to be coming, it feels like it needs to break out, because you don't want to dig yourself in too deep of a hole in the NL Central. But this past week just goes to show you what patience does for an offense, because not just on Friday night for the outburst that the offense had, but just this entire week, it's something where it seems like it was just waiting to break through, doesn't it?
Well, I you sit in my seat and you talk about patience and you talk about the team will be fine. I think a lot of people get a little tired of hearing that from me. But the fact is, you know, we do believe this club is going to be a good baseball team and a type of team that will score. But when you go for 6 weeks where it's just not doing it, I understand why people get a little negative or a little frustrated with the club. But it's hard to imagine that we're going to go all year and have all but one person actually perform at the level of expectations or exceeding, and that would have been Ozuna prior to the injury. So obviously we still feel there's a lot of upside in this lineup, and we're hoping everybody gets to witness it really from that second half on.
One more on the offense, John, before we switch to the pitching. Mac Carpenter, we all know he's going through a little bit of an injury bug right now, and then of course the slump that he's gone through this season. When he returns to the lineup and availability for Mike Shildt, is it going to come down to where he may have to earn his playing time because of how well Tommy Edman's been playing?
Well, I think Tommy Edman has certainly been a part of that positive combination that we're looking for right now. And so when you look at how to get Matt Carpenter back, I mean, clearly we believe he's the type of player that when going well, he can carry you. But to your point, it just hasn't happened this year. So I think the good news is at some point when he's cleared to play baseball, he can go down and do a 10 or 15-day rehab and really maybe find a place to get his swing going. And so I think when you talk about earning it, that's a tough thing to tell someone that's a veteran player on a club, but you certainly want him to understand that how we're going, he needs to get himself back on track before we just insert him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Again, we're talking with Cardinals President of Baseball Operation John Mozeliak here on Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX. Alex Ferrario with you. And John, the pitching side this past week, at least this previous time through the rotation, that seems like the display of what we expected from the starting pitching going into this season, doesn't it?
Well, I think like we've always believed in our rotation. I think even, you know, when you look at Friday night's start with Adam Wainwright, it probably didn't go as we had hoped. But you look at the starters we have, and they're all extremely competitive. They want to grind through a game. And, you know, you really think back to earlier in the week when Michaelis went nine. I mean, it's you know, you give your bullpen a day off. And so from time to time, you really need that. But, I mean, overall, these guys are throwing the ball well. We feel like we have a good starting rotation. And, you know, hopefully that continues, because when you do that, everything else gets a little better.
John Mozeliak, the president of baseball operations, with Alex Ferrario. More from him coming up on Ameren Total Access, including an update on Alex Reyes, which isn't going so well. And Junior Fernandez, that pitcher, is going very well. They like what they see. You'll hear John Mozeliak coming up before Cardinal Baseball. His pregame show, Alex Ferrario, at 11:15. You'll also hear from Kyle McClellan, who normally appears during Sports on a Sunday Morning, the Inside Pitch, sponsored by the Stacy Lee Ballou Scholarship Fund and Redbird Carriers, specializing in intermodal trucking. The former Cardinal will be with Alex Ferrario coming up after the news on KMOX.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.